Blog Talk Radio.
What we will do with that is if you guys are available Sunday, since there's no farmers market this Sunday. We will meet Sunday and have a business meeting. We will still do, I'm not going to switch, spiritual wellness from Saturday evening, tomorrow evening. We're going to keep it tomorrow evening, spiritual wellness, and then we will do the business meeting on Sunday if people are available. If not, we'll have to wait till next Thursday. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We are going to continue in this evening in the end times because there's just so much to cover in the end times. And I'm going to, as I was on the last week, you know, the Most High has to be the one in charge. So we will continue in the end times because we are in the end times. And so we want to make sure that we're understanding the times that we're in, and we're understanding what the world is going through and the challenges that each and every one of us will have because, you know, there's so much going on as far as the enemy trying to get the young people, trying to get the old people, trying to suck people back into the world, trying to make us celebrate holidays, pagan holidays and things like that, that we're not supposed to be celebrating. Had somebody else send me a text. They don't usually call in, but they, you know, they got the email and they asked me, well, and if they couldn't find where, you know, where there was a deity involved with Thanksgiving. And you know, so there's two people that have sort of said that to me. And so I more or less ran it down to them who that deity was. I told them I would send them the information. They are still in the Christian churches. And so they just wanted to know where I got it from. And, you know, more people are interested in the new moon service. And so, you know, Yah is moving and he's doing things. We just have to be faithful and stay consistent. So I'm, you know, I'm praising the Most High again for all that he's doing, all that he's going to do. I'm praising him and praying for the souls of our young people that he causes them to turn to him because it is a wicked world that we live in, a very wicked world. And, you know, they just have so much pressure on them. So, you know, we want to thank the Most High and ask him to allow us through this ministry to reach out to more young people that they would learn to fear Yah. That's the only thing that's going to keep them in these last days, is that they learn a healthy fear of him. Not that, you know, not this, the Most High loves you and he's all merciful and all forgiving. He's unmerciful and he's merciful and forgiving to those that he loves. He tells us that too many times in the scripture. And he tells us exactly who he loves. He loves those that love him. So, you know, we want to teach our young people and even those that have been in this walk for a minute, you know, the proper way that they should be looking at the Most High from the proper fear and understand that he's in control of everything. Nevertheless, we just got through with a new moon service, and I thoroughly always enjoy the new moon. I got so many fires in the iron right now, so many irons in the fire that I'm losing track of time, and so I'm grateful for the sisters that are keeping me on point, giving me the reminders. Again, as I said, I apologize for last night. We will do it Sunday if everybody is available. All right. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. And so I want the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we turn toward the east. And I have to remember I got so many different ways for us to connect now that I have to look at several different screens to make sure that I'm not ignoring anything. So let me welcome those in Pal Talk, those in Blog Talk, those that are on the internet in general, whether you are in North America or South America, on the African continent, in the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc countries. We do want to take this time to make, again, to make special for our new listeners in Australia and our new listeners that are in Romania. We welcome you to the broadcast family, and hopefully we can welcome you to our family as you continue to listen and to learn. Maybe you will want to join us and be part of this ministry. The goal is to get the ministry, the message of the gospel, into every country on this earth, because that's what the Most High said he wants. He wants the true message of the gospel to go out to all nations, to all countries. You know, there's going to be, you know, there's somebody in all those countries that need to hear the true gospel. So that is the goal, and it's to help us to walk correctly before him in these last days, that we raise up a generation, a righteous generation to him, that when he returns, that he will find that he will find faith in the earth, and that faith being that we're doing what it is that he told us to do. And let me check the screen over here. 1 second, please, and then we will go ahead and do our statement of faith. All right. So let's go ahead and begin. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. We just thank you. We glorify you. We lift you up and we magnify your name on today. We extol you, Father, and we lift you up. We give you glory, honor, and praise, for you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. There is none like you, O Father. And, Father, another will we bow down to. Another will we not bow down to and give our praise and our adoration to. Another will we not obey, but you, Father, hallelujah. And we just thank you on today for all that you have done for us, Father, and all that you're going to do. For you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. We just thank you on today. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. He said that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey. Father, now hear our prayers and our supplications and deliver us from this land of captivity, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 chapter 8 starting in verse 46. And I will personalize this as I read it. You can read it for yourselves on your screen for those of you who are in the room. I would pray that you personalize it for yourself, understanding that we need to make the scriptures personal. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our hearts and with all our souls in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance. Thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. We will now have the blowing of the shofar. All right. Amen. Amen. It's the Sabbath, and we're going to do our foundations of discipleship so that we know how we're supposed to be walking. By definition, a disciple is a student. And so we are supposed to be becoming disciples of Messiah, becoming Messiah-like or Christ-like. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 9, Messiah says, "Who has ears to hear? Let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables? How come you just don't speak to them clearly?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and they hearing hear, and they hearing, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand."
Oh, Brother Miles, you can't be heard.
Thank you, my sister. I'm just sitting here just going to town. All right. Thank you. Can I be heard now? Can I be heard now? Sister Denise? All right, thank you. I wasn't getting a response back. I don't know if I could be heard or not.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you for that, because I was still talking. Anyway, we want to go over the foundations of discipleship. A disciple is simply a student, and a disciple tries to become like their teacher or their master. In this case, we are in the process of making ourselves Christ-like or like Messiah. That is the goal of being a disciple. And we want to make sure that we understand as followers of Mashiach that we understand what we are required to do to become disciples. Okay. So in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9, starting in verse 9, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So you got to understand that everybody's not going to understand this because it was not given to the masses to understand it. Messiah was talking to the masses in parable, to the masses to understand what the gospel or the scriptures are all about. "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." So this is something that we as believers have to understand and have to know, that the gospel and the message of the scriptures and what Messiah was teaching was not given to the masses to understand. It's not given to everyone. Given to those that he gives it to. He has to give us understanding, okay? So to them it is not given. So as disciples, we have to be able to hear the voice of Messiah. And in hearing his voice, we have to understand that we are to become like him, Christ-like or messianic-like, for those who don't like the word Christ, messianic-like. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. "Kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So the first thing that you have to do as a disciple is seek the kingdom first, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek the kingdom first and Elohim and his righteousness. First thing we have to do as disciples. Go to Matthew chapter 13, look at verses 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. So the gospel of the kingdom and the kingdom of the Most High has to be the most valuable thing in your life. It has to be the thing that you treasure most. Be willing to sell everything you have. If you could buy the kingdom, you'd be willing to sell everything you had to get the kingdom, to purchase it. That's how valuable it has to be. No matter what we have, we'd be willing to give our all, sell our all to get it. Again, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he sold all that he had to obtain the kingdom. And this is the mentality that the disciples of Messiah must have. We've got to be willing to sell our all to obtain the kingdom. Psalms 119 and 2. The book of Psalms 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. We as the disciples must seek him. Third thing is to seek him with our whole heart. Most I don't like halfway. He don't like us giving a piece of ourselves to him. What he wants is our whole heart. Psalms 119 and verse 34. Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Because when we have understanding, then we understand that this whole thing is about transgression of his law. And so keeping them, if we have understanding, then we understand that we have to keep his laws, especially if we call ourselves disciples. Yeah, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Observe to keep his laws with your whole heart. Not, you know, sometime here, a little bit there. What you know to keep, you have to do it with your whole heart. Go to Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. The book of Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah. You cannot serve or love the Most High if you don't know him. You can't fear him if you don't know him. You can know of him. You can have some knowledge of him, but you must, in order to be his disciple, you must know him. You must learn him. So he says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now he's speaking specifically of Israel. But even anybody who is not Israel, if you are of the Gentile nation, you still must seek the Most High with your whole heart as well. Okay, so we've got to know him. And to know him is to fear him. And then out of that, we learn to love him. Okay. Go to Luke chapter 14. Let's see what Messiah himself says about being his disciple. Because a lot of, again, I say a lot of people are just never taught this. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He didn't say, hey, if you don't hate your father or your mother or your wife or your children or your brethren or your sisters or your own self, you're going to be a bad disciple. He said, you can't be his disciple. Nobody can come before him. Not mother, not brother, not sister, not husband, not wife. We must all serve the Most High with our all, and he has to be number one in our life. Even before ourselves. So we got to understand it. Now, this is Messiah talking. You cannot be my disciple if you're not willing, if you put anybody else before me, even yourself, you cannot be my disciple. He didn't say you could try. He didn't say he'll make you a poor one. He said you cannot be. And whosoever does not bear his cross, whosoever is not willing to do whatever it is he says, whatever he requires, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. So you got to be willing to do what it takes. And he says, I want your whole heart. I want your all. That's what it takes. Now, verse 28, again, you got to consider the Most High don't want you to do anything blindly. He wants you to sit down and contemplate, what is it going to take me to give my all? What am I going to do that? Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost? What is it going to cost you to serve the Most High with your whole heart? What is it going to cost you to seek the kingdom first? What is it going to cost you to serve him with your whole heart? What is it going to cost you to put him first? He wants you to consider the cost. Whether he has sufficient to finish it. Least happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. A lot of times we are hot and heavy when we first come into this walk. And then over time, we find out more and more that, you know, this are all. This is going to take my everything. That's what's going to cost you. And if you're not willing to give your all, then you're not willing to be his disciple. Because you cannot be. You're going through the motion. Okay? Let's go down to verse 33. Because we want to talk about the king. It's the same precept. If a king goes to war, if you're going to war, and you got to know who your enemy is and how many men and whatever it's going to take to defeat him, and do you have it? You got to consider the cost. Are you able to win the war? Okay. Every king that has gone into war had to consider that. Do I have enough men, or do I need to make peace? Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Now, these are Messiah's words. These are not Brother Miles' words. It's written. I'm just here to tell you. This is what's required. If you're not willing to do this, you're not going to make it because you're going to fall short. He's telling us exactly what it takes. Okay? And so we, each and every one of us, who call him our king, who call him our savior, our redeemer, he tells us exactly what it takes to serve him, to follow him. Can't love yourself. Nothing else in this life can come first. You got to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, not your righteousness, but his righteousness. Move yourself out of the way. What does he say is right? Seek his righteousness first. Your whole heart. You got to value the kingdom as being the most valuable thing that you can possess. And you got to be willing to give your all. So he said, consider the cost. The world would have you believe all you got to do is say, I believe, and that's all you got to do. He says, no, I want your all. Okay. So seek you first, seek Yah and his kingdom first. The kingdom got to be the most valuable thing in your life. You must seek the kingdom with your whole heart. You cannot love anyone, even yourself, more than you love Messiah. To give up everything to follow Messiah. Everything. So I pray we can hear this. All right. Let's go ahead and move into this precept for this evening. And I don't have this precept on on here. I was going to share my screen, but I just want you to follow. So everybody, you know, pull up your Bibles, pull out your Bibles, and follow along with me, okay? As we go through, we're still in the end time, and we're going to be doing this from the book of Mark. The book of Mark is where we're going to be coming from. Because each disciple, they were given a different measure of what they were to report concerning the end time. Okay, so I want to go to the book of Mark, chapter 13. The book of Mark, chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 1. Starting in verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones or what buildings are here? And Yeshua answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now we know that the temple was destroyed and every stone was cast down. There was not one stone left upon another in 70 AD. So he's giving them an immediate, something that's going to happen immediately in their lifetime. And as I said on last week, last time I did this precept, Messiah had already returned the first time in the form of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So we're not looking for his return, because what they were looking for was his return, his immediate return in the flesh. He returned in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he tells them, gives them this prophecy that these beautiful buildings that you seem to worship, that you take so much pride in, there's not going to be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I'm going to destroy this house. And he's going to destroy it because, let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And I want you to see and understand that the Most High was just, and he's pissed off. Okay, and he's going to only gather a remnant of Israel. But I want you to hear what our forefathers did so that you understand the end times and why we have to do what we have to do. And it came to pass, Ezekiel chapter 8, starting in verse 1, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of Yah Elohim fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. So he's describing the Most High to you. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by the lock of my head. Now hear this. The Most High appears unto Ezekiel, and he appears, his up and the waist down is like fire. And he stuck out his hand and grabbed Ezekiel by the head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens, and brought me into the vision to Elohim, brought me in the vision of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked towards the north. So he's in the inner gate of the sanctuary, where was set the image of jealousy, which provoketh the jealousy. Now this is the image that Ezekiel spoke about, the abomination of desolation, okay, the thing that provoked the Most High to jealousy. And behold, the glory of Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. So if you go, if you want to know what vision he saw in the plain, you got to go back to Ezekiel chapter 1 and 2, okay? And he describes the Most High riding on some angels. And on top of the angels was a platform. And on top of that platform was the Most High's throne. And then he describes the Most High to you there, okay? Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now that the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north. And behold, north at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Now listen to what he's saying. See what they do. This is what Israel is doing, our forefathers. Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. See what they do, that I should go far away from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. When I had digged into the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing. Now we know creeping things are an abomination to the Most High. We're not supposed to touch them. We're not supposed to eat them. Every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, the unclean beast, swine and ducks and things like this, things that some people may think are beautiful, but they're abominable to the Most High. And all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the walls round about it. Now this is his temple, his house. They have drawn creeping things, bugs, butterflies, things that he says that are an abomination to his people. And then abominable beasts. Not the things that are clean, but the things that are unclean. And all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the walls round about it. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, 70 elders. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his cloud of incense went up. They are burning incense to these abominable things that they have drawn on the walls of the house of the Most High. They are worshiping these things. This is equivalent to a man or a woman coming home and finding their spouse in the bed with someone else. So imagine how you would feel. This is why he calls Israel not just fornicators. Because see, you can play with other godly things, and you're playing with them, you're fornicating with them when you play with them toward the Most High. That's when he called them adulterers, because they had a change of heart. They not only were they fornicating, but they had a change of heart toward him by doing these things, spiritual adultery and spiritual fornication. Verse 12, then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in his chamber of his imaginary. The imagination of his mind. Whatever he can imagine, that's what he's doing. In my house. For they say, Yah seeth us not. Yah has forsaken the earth. Now, this is their mentality. The Most High ain't here. He ain't see us. He don't hear us. And he's showing Ezekiel why, hey, you want to see why I don't dwell in this place? You want to see why the people can't get a prayer through? Verse 13, he said also unto me, turn thee yet again. Just you were looking toward the north, you look toward the south, now turn ye yet again. And thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of Yah's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat a woman weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz is an Egyptian god. This is a god of Egypt. They're supposed to have left this stuff when they left Egypt. This has been 500 years more. So he doesn't say whether this is an Egyptian woman. So we have to assume that it is a Hebrew Israelite woman weeping for Tammuz, an Egyptian god, at the door to her Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of Yah's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of Yah, between the porch and the altar, were above about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of Yah, and their faces toward the east. They were facing the sun. They worshiped the sun toward the east. Sun worshipers in his house. Any and everything. And we are doing these things today. Not just us, but it's church. All those who are saying that they believe in Messiah, they're doing whatever they think is right. And saying it's okay by the Most High. You can worship the sun as long as you put Yah's name on it. You can bow down to another deity. You can celebrate their holidays as long as you put Yah's name on it. No, you can't. Can't do this stuff. Then he said unto me, verse 17, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. We're always talking about our people killing each other, you know, or we want to blame it on somebody else, you know, the white men shooting us down. But, you know, our own people killing more of us than anybody else. Violence toward each other rather than love. Worshiping all kind of things, turning themselves over to the enemy. For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. See, people think the Most High don't care about these things. Oh, it don't matter. I'm just going to spend some time with family. When we say we belong to him, he's God. I'm a jealous Elohim. You don't give your attention to another god up under any circumstance, under any way, because we provoke him to anger, not to love, not to peace, not to mercy. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Because as soon as we do some dirt, we do something wrong against the Most High, and we realize what we've done, then we want to go crying to him for pity. Have mercy. But we're not really, really repentant. And he says, I ain't trying to hear it. Now, we are in the day where this is common. Well, if you sin against the Most High, all you got to do is say, I'm sorry, forgive you. No, he's not. He's not true and just to forgive you, especially if it was willful and you knew what you were doing, that you have provoked him to anger. And he says, because you're not dropping dead like flies, you think I'm slow to judgment. But I have appointed a day, and I'm going to get you. I'm going to get all the wicked. That's why we have to fear him. That's why we have to serve him with our whole heart. That's why he's got to be first. Because if not, you might see something that somebody else is doing and say, oh, that looks good. That sounds good. I'll do that to the Most High. I'll serve him that way. And he says, no, hell, you won't. I've already told you how I want you to serve me. Told you don't add to it or take away from it. Don't bring it in my house. But this is what our forefathers did. And if we don't know the word of the Most High, we'll do it today. And many people do because they worship him from their mind, what they think is right. They don't look and find out. They don't learn of him. To learn that, hey, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. So I'll just do what I think is right. This is what I think. He never asked none of us what we think. See what our forefathers were doing. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. You want to know how he reacts to people who are blatantly in sin? This is how he reacts. Okay? And we are full of this today. That's why I said we have to get it right. We have to get it right. Can't say that we are his disciples, that we're following him, and we don't get it right. Go to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9, starting in verse 1. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them. Now, the Most High cried in Ezekiel's ears with a loud voice. He wasn't speaking with that small, still voice. He wasn't speaking to him in a whisper. He's upset and he's angry. So he was speaking loud. Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, to come here, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. So call those some people who have the sword to destroy, and then call a scribe, because I want this recorded. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Now, if you know the sanctuary, then the brazen altar is where you would wash your hands at, okay, before you did sacrifice. And the glory of Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub. He's not on the mercy seat. His glory has gone up from the cherub. Remember that the cherubs are on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And they're facing each other, and the Ark of the Covenant sits on top of the mercy seat, top of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. He's gone up from between the cherubs. I'm not about to have mercy. Whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yah said unto him, go through the midst of the city, go through the middle of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So the scribe is going to not only record this, but he's going to put a mark on anybody that's crying because of the abominations that Israel is doing. If your pastors, if your teachers ain't crying out, because of the abominations that the people of the Most High are doing. Something's wrong. If you are not crying out because of the abominations of what our people are doing, our young people, our old people, if you're not sighing and crying out against all these abominations, something wrong. You are either accepting of it or you've become too complicit, too desensitized, or you have the same mind as Israel, or the Most High don't care, he ain't here. He ain't going to judge. And to the others, he said in my ear, go you after him through the city and smite. Now remember, these men, he told them to get weapons. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. Who was he telling them to kill? Old and young, both young girls and little children and grown women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Judgment comes first to the house of Elohim. Begin at my sanctuary. And if it's a man that ain't crying out, don't mark him. And if it's a woman that's not crying out, don't mark her. But they were all doing what they weren't supposed to be doing, old and young. Did he say little children? Because, see, we want to think that there's a time period that the Most High would say, oh, it's okay for a little child. It's not. Say utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. Because these ancient men weren't hollering out. They were worshiping abomination. They were the first ones to die. The elders, the one who was supposed to teach the people. See, the priest's job is not to teach the law to the people. The priest's job is not to enforce the law amongst the people. That's the job of the elders. They were given the law, and they were taught the law, and then they were to teach the people, and then they were to enforce it. Here they are teaching the people to worship abomination. Get them first. But you ain't going to let nobody escape, not man, not woman, not old, not young, not child. It's important what we teach our children. It's important when we teach them and what we teach. It's important that we instill the fear of Elohim in them. Because they might get a hold of some strange doctrine and feel that's okay. If the grown people doing it, got to be okay. They're my example. And he said unto me, defile the house and fill the court with the slain. Now, remember I told you that modern-day churches They conduct funerals in the church. They bring the dead body into the church. Defile the house, defile my temple, and fill the courts with the slain. That's just bringing dead people onto the ground of the temple. And here we got churches, we got churches bringing dead bodies into the sanctuary. No understanding. The sanctuary is supposed to be hallowed ground. The church grounds are supposed to be hallowed. You don't bring no unclean thing onto the church ground. You don't bring no unclean thing into the sanctuary. So the Most High said, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. They just didn't hit people. They were killing. And we got to understand that with all the craziness that we're doing today, do we think that the Most High is happy? Do you not think that he is not angry? Every place that suppose sells by his name, that say that they are followers of him. He said, I told you don't make anything of any graven image in the heaven above or the earth beneath or in the waters thereof. And you go into most of these churches, you're going to find some type of statue. You're going to find some type of work of art in the stained glass or whatever. He said, don't do it. But we do what we want to do. Now, Israel went, they went start drawing creeping things on the wall and abominable beasts. They stand outside facing the east having a sunrise worship, a sunrise service. Doing all these things that the Most High said don't do. Got everybody involved, the elders, the women, the children. Most High said, kill them. Start here at my house. And kill them. This is the Elohim of the Bible. It's not the God that you are hearing about in your church. You can't just approach him anyway. And in the end time, people are doing any and everything and expect that it is acceptable. And it is not. While they were slaying them, I was left. That I fell upon my face and cried and said, oh, Yah Elohim, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Why? Because most of them were doing wrong. Men, women, children. Doing wrong. And Ezekiel's like, are you going to destroy all of Israel? See, we think that when we're in a majority that we are in the right. Scriptures always show us the ones that are in the right are in the minority. You got these guys with these great big congregations not teaching them to fear the Most High, but being a social club. They get together and kind of study the scriptures. They have a little bit of word in them, but no understanding. They don't even understand who they're worshiping. That's why they don't want to read this Old Testament. Because we don't want to worship that God. We want the God of the New Testament, the one that's merciful. They don't even understand what they're reading there. And this is what he's going to do when he comes back. This is why Israel is scattered today. This is why we have the spirits that we have upon us as a people today. This is what our forefathers were doing. He said, oh, you want to play the hoe? I'm going to put the spirit of boredom on you. And I'll put you in a situation where you ain't got a choice. Somebody else going to make you hoe. Because of this. Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house. Well, let me go back to verse 8. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, then I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Yah Elohim, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, Yah has forsaken the earth. Yah seeth not. They have gotten so bold to say that, hey, the Most High ain't looking. He has forsaken the earth. And we look around us. And if you have any type of righteousness, then you know how wicked this world is. But when you see us doing the same wickedness, then we want to say, hey, you can't judge me. Can't cry out against my abomination because you're doing the same thing. But the ones who were crying out is the ones who put a mark in their head and say, hey, don't kill them. At least they got enough sense to cry against it. They may not be able to do anything about it, and they're not doing it. But the wickedness is so great that it's going to have to become a commandment down from me. Go through and start killing everything. So we got to understand that with the internet and everything that you would ever want to get into, you can get into, you can find out about it. You can Google it. You got so many men and women caught up in pornography. That for some of them, it's just a way of life, something that they do every day. They are addicted. Let me smoke a joint and go to the porn site. Wife gone to work, what's she gonna know? Husband going to work, what he going to know? Used to be a male-dominant thing. Now it is a female-dominant thing. More females are looking at porn than men. Young girls. Because somebody then told them, this is what I want you to do, or they want to know how they're supposed to service a man, so they go look on the internet to find out how they're supposed to service this man. I want a boyfriend. I want to know what to do. Getting brought up that way. This perverseness, for they say Yah has forsaken the earth, and Yah seeth not. As for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither shall I have pity. But I will recompense them their way upon their head. I'm not going to have pity. I'm going to repay them for the wickedness that they do. See, we think because, as I said, because he's not, judgment is not coming right away today, because he said, you know what? This was my priesthood, and I was getting them right away. Now, this wickedness is all through the, always been all through the earth from the very beginning. That's why he destroyed the first earth with a flood. It's because the thoughts of man's mind was evil continually. That has never left. And if we judge ourselves by our own standard, we might think we're a good person. Well, you got to judge yourself by his standard. Today, society will tell you that a loose woman is a woman that sleeps around with a lot of men. They would classify her as a whore. But the Most High says, if a young woman sleeps around one time, she has played the harlot, she has played the whore. One time. Not being with a whole bunch of men. His standard. 11. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the ink horn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. I have marked all yours. And I have recorded that this thing was done. Now, what do you think Messiah is going to do when he comes back? If let's do this. Let's go here. Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. We're talking about the end times. The last days have been here for 2,000 years, 2,000 plus years. So what we're about to read, we know is nothing new. It's going to be magnified even more so. In the end times, in the last days. In the last of the last days. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. Because mankind, becomes desensitized to the Most High. He ain't here. He don't care. He ain't looking. It's become worse because they have no fear. So they allow their natural inclinations to take over. That's why you can see all this stuff on the internet. That's the true standing of where mankind is. Can you imagine it? Somebody is doing it. You might think you're coming up with a new idea. Go search for it and see if ain't somebody else already doing it. I don't care what wickedness it is. Somebody else is already doing it. You're not the first. This has been going on for a minute. Really, actually, ever since the flood. So the Most High shows him a people. I'm going to teach you my ways. Then I'm going to show you by example and set an example for you. And you ask the example as to how I deal. And when they transgress, he would kill them. And because we don't see it today, we think he won't do it. Second Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Not lovers of Elohim, not lovers of their brother. Got their own agenda. What am I looking for? What do I want? What have you done for me lately? Lovers of themselves. Covetous, wanting what everybody else has. This is so rampant in the U.S., but it's global. And everybody that's not in the U.S., if they're in another country, if they don't have anything in that country, they want to come to the U.S. At least they got the promise that they might, they got the dream that they can have, that they might be able to get something. They want that fancy car. They want to be able to go out to the fancy restaurant. They want what you have, and what you have is only decadent. It's only self-serving. But they want it because it's been portrayed to them that, hey, this is what life can be. The Most High taught Israel, get only what you need for this time period. No more, no less. What he was teaching them in the wilderness, take more than you need for that day. And if you take more than you need for the day, it's going to rot on you. So you're trying to take extra food, extra manna? After mealtime is over, you try to hold it up until the next day. You come back in the morning and you got a bowl full of maggots. I told you to only take what you could eat. Oh, I'm trying to be studious. I'm trying to store up. I said, I didn't want you to store up. I told you to only take what you need. Now, here's my requirement. On Friday, you're going to gather for 2 days. You're going to cook for 2 days. And what you gather ain't going to rot overnight because I'm doing it. I'm making that food rot out when you being disobedient, trying to keep it. So on Friday, when I tell you to prepare for 2 days, because I don't want you doing nothing on my Sabbath, not cooking, I want your attention on my day. And I'm going to make it you want to do what you want to do. See, they were disobedient back then. You had some people trying to keep the manna overnight when he said, don't keep it overnight. They're being coveted. Oh, I ain't going to have to go out tomorrow and gather. Boaster, bragging about what they've done. Bragging about, and most of the time, it's iniquity. It's iniquity, boasting about it, high-fiving your partner. Yo, go check out old girl over there. She easy. We can both have her at the same time. Give me five on that. The women got the same spirit. Be bragging about unrighteousness. How they got this man to do that for this, or this man to do that on a promise he might get some. Because I need a way to get what I want. Don't have the education, don't have the job, I got a body. Proud, this spirit of pride, they teach it to you. They don't give you context. Be proud of what you do. But the Most High hates pride. He hates being proud. I don't care if it's in yourself or if it's in someone else. It's contrary to him. The spirit behind it. Usually a competitive spirit. Where we got to appear in some type of way to be better than someone else. Better than them or better at something than them. We got to appear to be above. That's where that pride comes from. Somebody's got to be worse for you to be proud. I got 100 on this test. You only got 99. Just a sneaky spirit. But the most I hate pride. Blasphemer, that you are coming against the Most High, you're making the word of the Most High evil. I'm a follower of Messiah, but I don't keep his laws. I'm his son. I'm his child. But I don't obey him. You don't know that that's a form of blasphemy? Causing the word of the Most High to be evil, to be evil spoken of. You call yourself a child of the Most High, and in the streets you're out there cussing people out and doing all kind of stuff, filthy mouth. Not being like Messiah. These are the days that we live in. And how dare you tell me about myself, the parents. That's why they kill the children. They're not being brought up with any standard. Not being brought up to fear their parents. Most only wants us to fear two entities in this world. To fear him and fear your parents. And our children today don't understand in the eyes of the Most High, if you are disobedient, if you curse your parents, or if you hit them, it's a death sentence. Time out. He said, kill them. But we know better than the Most High. That's why we got disobedient children. That's why we got children that will cuss around us and not, you know, think that they are, even if they are grown, think that they are just as grown as their parents. No respect. Unthankful. We'll use you in a heartbeat. Not just your children, men, mankind, period, don't care. They get what they want. If they can get over, they feel like they can get the best deal. Not thankful that you did something for them. You are a means to an end. Unthankful. And then when it's your own children, then that just makes it worse. But then we can't even be expecting it. And we let them get away with it. But the Most High ain't going to let them get away with it. So who are you helping? We're not helping them. If they're going to come before the Most High is going to say, how did you treat your parents? Uh, can't say nothing. But that's on us for not putting the fear of the Most High in them and allowing them to do that. Not helping them when it comes to the Most High. Unholy. Heck, if you tell somebody to be holy today, they act like you're cussing them out. Unholy, unclean, to care less about what the Most High says is holy and what he says is unholy. To care less. To, these are the things that he's going to rule people, that he's going to judge people on. He's going to say, like he said to you, do you see what they do? Do you see what you did? Pull out the book. Let me look at your work. No fear. Without natural affection. I only have affection because you got something that I want. You got something that I need. No affection because you are a person. That you're a human being. These are the end times. These are the days that we live in. We cannot be any of these things and say that we're his disciple. Say that we love him. These are all contrary to him. Truth breakers. People will enter into an agreement, enter into a relationship, and break it in a heartbeat today. In a heartbeat. Don't realize the relationships that the way the Most High looks at relates to gain. Oh, it was just a little white lie. You got that person to believe what you were saying. And then you didn't keep your word. Truth breakers. False accusers. Liars. Just will say, hey, this person did this to me. This person said this to me. And ain't none of it true. Maybe the person thinks it's true. Incontinent, no consistency. Whatever the situation calls for. If it means I got to do wrong, I'll do that. If it means I do right to get what I want, I do that. Unstable. Don't know what they'll do. Because their standard is about them and whatever they need. Fierce. Have the nerve to be fierce and angry. Because they didn't get what they wanted. Think they got a right to be. We're wondering why the young people acting the way they acting. This generation, you know, I thought we were bad. I thought ones before were bad. But this generation, they feel like they are owed something. Feel like we owe them something. and get angry if you're not giving it to them. Fiercely angry. Tell you to F off. Getting what they think you're supposed to be giving them. Not that they have to earn it. Not that you don't owe them anything. But they believe that you do. Despisers of those that are good. When you think evil is good and good is evil, do you think you're going to not despise those that do good? Man, don't bring him around here. All you do is talk that Bible. All he's going to do is tell you what you're doing wrong. Don't want to hear from them. Don't want to be around them. Don't invite them to the party. Don't invite them to the cookout. Traitors. Pretend that they're on your side. Then they backstab you. Or they were on your side and then they what, betrayed you and went with somebody else because it was convenient. No loyalty. That's the society that we live in. Used to be you get on a job, they want you to stay there forever, and they loved your loyalty. Then the information they came in, and they only wanted young people. They want to get rid of the old people. And the young people didn't learn loyalty, so they're jumping from company to company. And these companies now have no continuity of services, no continuity of knowledge. Because the ones with the experience and the knowledge got rid of them, or they learned the lesson and moved on too, because the company wasn't loyal to them. Traitors, heady, high-minded. I'm all that in a bag of chips. I hate. He hates these things with a passion. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim. Lovers of pleasure, because that's a humongous spirit in the land of liberty. It's global though, but especially in the land where you got liberty. You have liberty to do whatever you want to do. Love your neighbor, whether they male or female, as yourself. Not in a good way. For pleasure. Whatever men can imagine they are doing. Whatever they can imagine. Whatever they can imagine doing to somebody else. Because they want to feel like they got some power. They got some authority. See if I can get old girl to do this. Let me see if I can make him do that. No fear of the Most High. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of the Most High. Well, let some pleasure come before the Most High. And we can consider ourselves to be normal. I'm the average everyday person. Can't go without that pleasure, though. put it before the Most High. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness. Godly. Going through the motions. Yeah, this is what I think is right. This is what the good book says. I kind of keep it. I kind of understand it. I don't really understand it, but I know I'm not supposed to be doing some of these other things over here. A form of godliness. Yeah, I kind of teach my children right and wrong according to what my standard is. People that will let their kids drink and smoke and do all kind of stuff around them, even when they're not grown. Because it's what their standard is. Having their own standard of what's right and wrong. Not what the Most High standard is. Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Stay away from them. If you're trying to avoid sin, you'll be a lonely person, trust me. You'll be running by yourself most of the time, 99% of the time. Because this is the way people are in the world. Turn away. For this sort are they which creep into house and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts. This spirit of lust and pleasure, it ain't no joke. You got a lot of people in improper relationships because of this spirit of pleasure and lust. Ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. What time we got? 7:51. Now he goes in verse 8. He goes back into Moses' time. There ain't nothing new up under the sun. Now as James and Jamboree withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate, reject concerning the faith. They believe they have faith. Have no fear of the Most High and believe they have faith. Don't keep the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High and believe that they have faith. Think that they can walk with one leg in this world and one leg in the kingdom. Believe that they can teach men that they don't have to keep the laws. Hold your finger there. Go to Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Go 18 and 19, and then we will go back to verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Messiah, when he fulfilled the law, it wasn't to destroy the law, but to establish it. And we are supposed to establish the law in our own lives. We are supposed to fulfill it. Not point at Messiah and say, oh, he fulfilled the law, so I don't have to. No understanding. I am not come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, if you still on this earth, if heaven is still up there, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled, till heaven and earth pass. Until I make the new heaven and the new earth. And you better understand what I'm talking about. And you better do it. See, what we don't realize is the New Testament is written in such a way to reveal what is in us. What's in your heart? That's why the way it's written. What is really in your heart to do? It's written that way. To reveal it. That's why he says, I'm going to judge you by your heart. Because you might be able to fake the funk for a minute. But if it ain't in you to keep his law, you're going to find a way not to do it. You're going to find a way to justify yourself. He says, I'm not passing away any of this. Destroy it. I came to fulfill it. And I expect you to be like me. To fulfill it also. Be a doer of the word. And not just a hearer of it. Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Not the greatest, not wise, shall do and teach them. Whoso shall do the laws, do the commandments, and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You got men teaching the opposite of that because we want to do what we've been doing. We don't want to let some stuff we don't want to let go of. So this word is written in such a way to reveal what is in your heart. You got all these different interpretations. You got all of this liberty, because if the scriptures use liberty, then, oh, I got liberty, not understanding what that liberty is applying to. The end times. The times that we are in, they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. Not going to get better. And when Messiah come back, he's not sparing women and children. Not the way he operates. That's something that people just feel like he's that way. A lot of people will say, hey, I can't serve a God like that. And that's okay. They don't have to. Just know that they're going to answer for it. Bow our head. Father, yeah, these are terrible times. And people are looking for a sign. And they really want a sign to know whether they should straighten up or whether they still got time to mess around. That's why they want the sign, Father. But you have told us the kingdom and your righteousness. You have given us your standards. You have told us what you expect and what you will accept and what you will not accept. Father, if there be any with any scale on their eyes, any blockage in their ears, if there be any that whose understanding has been muted, retarded, Father, remove those blocks even right now as I speak in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. That they should not hear this message and remain the same. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And we're supposed to be diligently looking for the return of Messiah because it can happen whenever he wants it to happen. He told his saints, apostle of the kingdom, don't worry about the wars and the rumors of wars. Don't worry about the earthquakes in diverse places. Worry about doing what I told you to do. Worry about not being like the end time people are. But being what I told you to be. If there are anyone, Father, who can hear this message and grab hold onto it, let their eyes be open, their ears unstopped, let their understanding be clear, that they might become doers of the words and not just hearers only. Because it's not going to get any easier, Father, and you know it because you have ordained it. Their eyes. Unstop their ears. Unblock their eyes. Clear them up. Remove the fog from their brain. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I think next Sabbath, we're going to continue in the end times because there's so much here that he tells us to look at, so much here that we have to be accountable for. We keep worrying about when he's coming back. Better worry about doing what he said to do. If you're doing what he said to do, then you ain't got to worry about when he's coming back. You'll be secured. You're doing what he said to do, you're in trouble. So two ways about it. You're in trouble and don't know it. Don't know what the precept's going to be for tomorrow morning. The Most High will have to give it to me between now and in the morning. Maybe it'd be more of this. I don't know. I don't know. But as he puts it on my heart, that's what I will do. All right, that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. May he encompass angels around you. Remember, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I love you as my brother and my sister, and the job that the Most High has given me to do. Fear Yah and keep the commandments. Thanks. Shalom. Have a blessed Sabbath.